ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। So today we're reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 39. Akrura's Vision and Texts number 3 through 7. So we can all read from 3 through 6, and then we'll do responsibly number 7.
Sayantanashanam kritva bhagavan devaki suta suhit suvritam tam sasya paprachanya chikirshitam.
After the evening meal, Lord Krishna, the son of Devaki, asked the Akrura how Kamsa was treating their dear relatives and friends and what the king was planning to do. Text 4.
Shri Bhagavan Uvacha Tata Samyagata Kachit Swagatam Bhadranastuva Api Swagyati Bandhunam Anami Vammanayam.
The Supreme Lord said, "My dear gentle uncle Akrura, was your trip here comfortable? May all good fortune be yours. Are our well-wishing friends and our relatives, both close and distant, happy and in good health?" Text 5.
Kim nu na kushalam pichche edhamane kulamaye kamse matulanam nanga swanam nastapajasuya.
"But my dear Akrura, as long as King Kamsa, that disease of our family, who goes by the name maternal uncle, is still prospering, why should I even bother to ask about the well-being of our family members and his other subjects?" Text 6.
Aho asmadda bhud bhuri pitro vrijinam mayayo yadheto putra maranam yadheto bandhanam tayo.
"Just see how much suffering I have caused my offenseless parents. Because of me, their sons were killed and they themselves imprisoned." Purport. Because Kamsa had heard a prophecy that the 8th son of Devaki would kill him, he tried to kill all her children. For the same reason, he imprisoned her and her husband, Vasudev. Text 7. Please repeat.
Dishtyadya darshanam swanam mahyam va saumyakankshitam sanjatam varnyatam tata tavagamana karanam. Dishtyadyadarshanam swanam mayam vasamyakamshitam sanjatam varnyatam tata tavagamanakaranam. Dishtyadyadarshanam swanam mayam vasamyakamshitam sanjatam varnyatam tata tavagamanakaranam.
Mataji?
Dishtyadya darshanam sanam. Mayam va somya kanchitam. Sanjatam varnitam tato. Tavadamakaranam.
Word for word. Dishtya, by good fortune. Adya, today. Darshanam, the sight. Swanam, of my close relative. Mahyam, for me. Vaha, yourself. Saumya, O gentle one. Kangshitam, desired. Sanjatam, has come about. Varnyatam, please explain. Tata, O uncle. Tava, your. Agamana, for the coming. Karanam, the reason. Translation. By good fortune, we have today fulfilled our desire to see you, our dear relative. O gentle uncle, please tell us why you have come. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishtaya Bhutale Srimati Srila Vibhava Pabhiti Namine Shri Shri Vindata Vivira Parapanka Jadayini Prabhupada Nivadaya Namaha Shri Vidabahave Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishtaya Bhutale Srimati Bhakti Vedanta Swami Iti Namine Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Sunyavari Paschata Deshitarine Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shurasari Gaur Bhaktavinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So I'd just like to read back text 3. After the evening meal, Lord Krishna, the son of Devaki, asked the Krura how Kamsa was treating their dear relatives and friends and what the king was planning to do. So Krura is already here, and now Krishna is asking him after the evening meal. So they already ate. Then the next verse, the Supreme Lord said, my dear gentle uncle Akrura, was your trip here comfortable? May all good fortune be yours. Are our well-wishing friends and our relatives, both close and distant, happy and in good health? And then, of course, he would answer his own question by saying, no need to ask about it, because we already know that Kamsa is there. A disease is called the disease of our family, who goes by the name maternal uncle. Akrura is also an uncle, but he has a different name. Kula Maye. Kula means the family or the ancestry, and Maye means Kula Maye. Kula Maye Saumya. Saumya means gentle, and Kula Maye is actually referring to King Kamsa, the disease of the family line. But he is called Saumya Tata, or Tata Saumya, O gentle uncle. Akrura is called gentle uncle. So, can anyone tell me who, in the Srimad Bhagavatam and also in other scriptures, an example of someone who was a disease of the family line, or the disease of the country, or disease of, just like here. Sorry? Balan? Yeah. Well, that's on the other side. King Vena, you mean Vena? Vena, the son. the son of King Anga. Thank you, that is a very good example. Anga, the son of King Anga. Actually, I have his name, I have it down here. King Anga, he was very much frustrated with life because of his son, Vena. Vena was notorious, and it is said that he would go out and play with his friends, and then he would just kill them, just like that, as if it's all part of playing. He would kill his friends. He was very, very bad, you know, torture others, and he was such a menace to the family. In fact, it is mentioned that the king, King Anga, thought to himself one day, persons who have no son are certainly fortunate. They must have worshipped the Lord in their previous lives so that they would not have to suffer the unbearable unhappiness caused by a bad son. Now he will also change that around and show how his son is actually good for him. The king thought again, persons who have no son are certainly fortunate, who, if he is considerate and intelligent, would desire such a worthless son. Such a son is nothing but a bond of illusion for the living entity, and he makes one's home miserable. But he continues, a bad son is better than a good son. How? Because a good son creates an attachment for home, whereas a bad son does not. A bad son creates a hellish home from which an intelligent man naturally becomes very easily detached. Thinking like that, King Anga could not sleep all night. He became completely indifferent to household life. Once, therefore, in the dead of night, he got up from bed and left Vena's mother, his wife, who was sleeping deeply. He gave up all attraction for his greatly opulent kingdom, and unseen by anyone, he very silently gave up his home and opulence and proceeded towards the forest. So that was King Anga. And of course, the great saintly persons at that time, when King Anga left, now the country had no king, so they had to find someone to be the king. And because there were so many rogues and thieves and criminals, they thought that because Vena was so bad and so notorious and so crazy, that everyone was already afraid of him. So these thieves and rogues, if we make him the king, then at least we'll curb the thieves and rogues. He was very good at that. So they made him the king. So they installed him as the king. And then he did the job as the brahmanas were thinking. He actually curbed the thieves and the rogues. But he was also now stepping on the toes of the Vaishnavas, of the Brahmins, and those who were doing religious activities, because he thought, well, I am the king. Everyone should worship me. Don't worship Krishna. Don't worship the Lord. So then at that point, the brahmanas, they decided to, they met and they decided that since he is now the enemy of the devotees, then we'll have to do something to get rid of him. He'll have to step down. So they met and they decided that he should be killed, and they all, it says they pronounced what is that called? High-sounded words, and in that way they got rid of him. They killed him. So that was the end of King Anga. Who else? That was Avena. Who else? Duryodhan. So Duryodhan, he was the eldest of the 100 brothers, the Kauravas, who were called the Kauravas. He was also such a personality. He was always angry and didn't want to give the Pandavas their rightful share of the kingdom. And so much so that not even the amount of land that will fit under a pin, he was so bad. He had the whole world, practically speaking, but he didn't want to give them not even the land that will fit under a pin. So he was always angry and was always trying to defeat the Pandavas. So in the end, he was destroyed, of course. He was killed. So he was also the disease of that, of the whole Kaurava race. He was considered to be that. Okay, that was Duryodhan. Who else? Anyone else? Sorry? Pushkar Prabhu mentioned Prahlad Maharaj being the, in the eyes of Hiranyakashipu, he was the disease of the family because he was a devotee and everyone else was a. Bhagiratha. I don't recall. But I'm thinking of Jagai and Madhai. For the community, for the people in general, they were also like that. It is described that they did every type of sinful activity that you can think of, and those that you cannot think of also, that they have done. Jagai and Madhai. They were such such rascals. But like Krishna is saying here that what did he say? Just see how much suffering I have caused my offenseless parents. Because of me, their sons were killed and they themselves imprisoned. So Krishna is feeling some remorse that he, because of his coming into the world, and because of that prophecy that was heard, this sister of yours, her eighth child is going to kill you, and that eighth child is going to be Krishna. So Krishna thought to himself that was because of him coming into the world, that's why they are going through so much suffering. All the children were killed, six of them, and also the mother and father, offenseless. They were offenseless, and they were imprisoned for so much time. And so therefore he feels this remorse in himself. He doesn't have to necessarily, but Krishna is feeling like that. And there are some examples of those who felt remorse in the scriptures. Can anyone think of someone? Can you use the microphone? Yudhishthir. And how was that?
Yudhishthir was thinking that it was because of him that the whole battlefield, the whole Kurukshetra war took place, to put him as the king.
Good.
And he said that Duryodhana wasn't really a bad king, that he should cause all this grief to so many widows and so many, now there's children or orphans, and he felt terrible. Yeah.
Thank you very much. Yeah, Yudhishthira was thinking like, devotee always thinks like that, that I am the problem, I am the fault, I am so low. He never thinks himself as being the person in charge. Who else? Yes, Madhumati. Parikshit Maharaj, and how was that?
After he put the snake on the rishi, then he was thinking that he shouldn't have done that. He was feeling remorse.
Okay, thank you very much. The what was his name? Shringi? Shringi was the one who cursed. Shamika Rishi. He put the snake on Shamika Rishi's neck. Then he was cursed by Shringi. So he was feeling badly that he has done out of being thirsty, something for his own he was taking out my own sense gratification. Because of this, I couldn't control myself, and therefore I have committed a great offense by putting the snake, the dead snake, on the neck of Shamika Rishi. Okay, anyone else?
Bharat.
Bharat Maharaj, you mean? Oh, I see. Bharat, the brother of Lord Ram.
He wanted a kingdom, and so his brother had to go into the forest. So he, for that reason, he did not even take the kingdom. He just put his...
It's not that he wanted the kingdom, but because he was there, his mother wanted the kingdom for him. And so he felt that it was my fault that my brother had to go to the forest. Yeah, use the microphone.
The Yagyik Brahmanas.
Yagyik Brahmanas. The Yagyik Brahmanas. They were, what was it?
They cursing their family, they're cursing their so-called learning. And the last line they say, we couldn't understand Krishna. That's another word for, I forget, Vasudeva, or they said, we don't know, Achyuta or something. Whole verse. Dig kulam, dig bahu gyatam. We have so much learning, so-called, but we couldn't understand. There's Krishna standing there before us.
Yeah, our wives are more intelligent than us. We are more devoted to the Lord. Good. Anyone else would like to add? I was thinking, what was that?
I was thinking.
Okay. Indra, King Indra. He has a lot to be remorseful of. King Indra, he has, and which one particularly were you thinking about? Which particular incident?
I was thinking about Govardhan Leela.
Govardhan Leela, yes. So he came to beg forgiveness from Krishna after realizing what big...
And Lord Brahma also then.
And Lord Brahma, of course, yes. But in, in the sixth canto in Ajamil, in the story of Ajamil, I like this one very much, where... After everything is said and done, and he was saved by the Vishnu Dutas, Ajamil said, Den mam vigarhitam sadbhir duskritam kulaka jalam hitva balam satim yoham surapima satim agam. Alas, all condemnation upon me. I acted so sinfully that I degraded my family tradition. Indeed, I have given up my chaste and beautiful young wife to have sexual intercourse with a fallen prostitute accustomed to drinking wine. All condemnation upon me. And the purport, Srila Prabhupada said, short one. This is the mentality of one who is becoming a pure devotee. When one is elevated to the platform of devotional service by the grace of the Lord and the spiritual master, one first regrets his past sinful activities. This helps one advance in spiritual life. The Vishnu Dutas had given Ajamil the chance to become a pure devotee, and the duty of a pure devotee is to regret his past sinful activities in illicit sex, intoxication, meat eating, and gambling. Not only should one give up his past bad habits, but he must also regret his past sinful acts. This is a standard of pure devotion. Now, also describe here, it says in the seventh text, by good fortune we have today fulfilled our desire to see you, our dear relative, O gentle uncle. Please tell us why you have come. And so I looked up, look at these words, by good fortune. You see it a lot in our scriptures, in our reading.
Distya.
Distya, exactly. Distya, dya, darshanam, swana. Jai. So, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu mentioned a very famous one. Brahmanda brahmite kona bhagyavan ji. Bhagyavan means good fortune. Guru Krishna prasade pai bhakti lata bij. The fallen conditioned living entity, trapped by the external energy, loiters in the material world. But if by good fortune he meets a bona fide spiritual master, representative of the Lord, who gives him the seed of devotional service, and if he takes advantage of such a guru or representative of God, he receives the Bhakti Lata Bij, the seed of devotional service. If he properly cultivates Krishna consciousness, he is then gradually elevated to the spiritual world. And Krishna said to Brahma, while rotating in the cycle of birth and death, yada kada chit jivatma samsaran nijakarmabhi, nana yonishvanisho yam paurushim gatim avrajit. While rotating in the cycle of birth and death, again and again, in different species, because of his own fruitive activities, the dependent living entity, by good fortune, may happen to become a human being. The human birth is very rarely obtained. Also in the Ramayana, bare bhagya manushya tan paava. Bare bhagya manushya tan paava. Manush means the human being, man. And bare bhag, that's from the Ramayana. I'm not sure, it's somewhere in one of the khandas. But right. What does it mean? What does it mean?
Bhavapravago, that by good fortune one gets satsangamo, gets association of the devotees, and then he can get out of the material world after rotating. And it's around the same section with that Brahmanda Bhum.
Okay.
That verse is like a commentary on Krishna's Kaviraj gives one. And he's quoting the Bhagavatam.
And then Nanda Maharaj, when they met himself, when he was going to pay taxes to King Kamsa, he met with Vasudev after many years, it is described. Because Nanda Maharaj was in Vrindavan and Vasudev was in Mathura, and they apparently never actually get a chance to meet. They don't meet regularly. So he went to pay taxes in Mathura, and then in that way they were meeting. So it said, again, Dishtya samsara chakresmin vartamana punarbhava. It is also by good fortune that I am seeing you. Having obtained this opportunity, I feel as if I have taken birth again. Even though one is present in this world, to meet with intimate friends and dear relatives in this material world is extremely difficult. Vasudev had been imprisoned by Kamsa, and therefore, although present in Mathura, he was unable to see Nanda Maharaj for many years. Therefore, when they met again, Vasudev considered this meeting to be another birth. By good fortune, a soul may obtain a healthy human life, an opportunity rarely achieved. But if he is nonetheless deluded about what is best for him, O Lord, your illusory maya will cause him to waste his entire life. That's from 10th canto, Srimad Bhagavatam. And this one, 1128.8. If someone or other, by good fortune, one develops faith in hearing and chanting my glories, Krishna said, such a person, being neither very disgusted with nor very much attached to material life, should achieve perfection through the path of loving devotion to me. And in the Adi Leela, devotional service rendered to me by the living entities revives their eternal life. O my dear damsels of Raj, your affection for me is your good fortune, for it is the only means by which you have obtained my favor. So it is devotional service. And then in Dishtya also. Yeah, it's a common word. In the Madhya Leela, 2243, this is just Dhruva Maharaj has just spoken that verse which we heard yesterday. Ratna. Bichinvan. How does it go? Swamin Kritartuna Varam Nayache. So So he just spoke that verse in verse 42, and this is 43. He was looking for broken glass after he was able to see the Lord, Dhruva Maharaj. And I was looking for broken glass, but now I have found the most beautiful gem. So this one says, 43, the conditioned souls are wandering throughout the different planets of the universe, entering various species of life. By good fortune, one of these souls may somehow or other be delivered from the ocean of nations, just as one of the many big logs in a flowing river may by chance reach the bank. So how rare is that, that one of those floating logs might reach the bank? And the purport. There are unlimited conditioned souls who are bereft of Lord Krishna's service. Not knowing how to cross the ocean of nations, they are scattered by the waves of time and tide. However, some are fortunate to contact devotees, and by this contact, they are delivered from the ocean of nations, just as a log floating down a river accidentally washes upon the bank. So I'll stop there. A few minutes left for any questions or comments, discussion. I'm sorry?
Read back the verse or verses you
you want me to read the verses?
Yeah.
Okay, so text 3 says, after the evening meal, Lord Krishna, the son of Devaki, asked Akrura how Kamsa was treating their dear relatives and friends and what the king was planning to do. And text 4, the Supreme Lord said, my dear gentle uncle Akrura, was your trip here comfortable? May all good fortune be yours. So, are our well-wishing friends and our relatives both close and distant, happy and in good health? The point was already made of how when a guest comes, you don't say, well, what are you here for? That's not the first thing you ask them. How long will you stay? When are you leaving? Well, that is implied. How long are you staying means when are you leaving? The next one says, but my dear Akrura, as long as King Kamsa, that disease of our family who goes by the name maternal uncle, is still prospering, why should I even bother to ask about the well-being of our family members and his other subjects? You know, maternal uncle, one thing in India is there is a specific word for each person. Here it says maternal uncle. In Hindi or in some parts in India, they have different names, but my ancestry, I guess, is from Bihar area. So they, for maternal uncle, they say mamu. In some other places, they say mama. But in your maternal grandfather, they say nana. It's a specific name, so you know exactly. You don't have to ask them again. Well, if you say uncle, you have to say, is it your father's brother, mother's brother? So, but in Hindi and other languages in India, the specific name. I'm sure there are other cultures also like that. Where there's a specific name for each person. And the last verse, you want to hear that too? It's all pure and tasty. Just see how much suffering I have caused my offenseless parents. Because of me, their sons were killed and they themselves imprisoned.
So the verse before that, it says that the wicked Kamsa is still flourishing. We've seen that in this world, sometimes people do like a lot of wicked things and so, and they try to get money by unjust means, and they flourish nicely, you know. A lot of wicked guys do so much heinous work and they're successful. How is that so? How the goddess of fortune follow them?
Well, it's described that their previous pious activities bring them prosperity. But then that'll be short-lived because of their sinful activities now. That is going to go in the future. Srila Prabhupada said the Americans in general, they're enjoying the benefits of their past pious activities. And being very beautiful, and there's so much opulence and so forth. But because they're misusing it in the future, their future is very grave, very dull, very dark. It's just a matter of time. Anything else? Okay, I guess we'll stop here. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai.